Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's final whistle. Thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.
But there is the full-time whistle.
There goes the hooter.
And it's full time.
And that's a whistle of joy.
Supporters invading the pitch.
We won it! We won it!
This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. As Gaelic football's National League returns, we assess the local prospects. Donegal in Division 1, Sligo and Leitrim in Division 4. Coming up, Manus Boyle on that mini Ulster Championship that is Division 1 North. Paddy McGill's Donegal GAA podcast will get stuck into it as well. We'll hear from Sligo's Tony McEntee, Leitrim's Terry Hyland, the new Sligo captain Keelan Cawley, and Martin McGowan is out training the Alan Gales footballers right now, but he's promised to put the whistle and cones down mid-session and join us later to run the rule on Division 4 North. What an obliging fella he is. I'm not sure too many intra-county managers would do that. Good evening, this is Austin O'Callaghan. Welcome to the programme. And let's begin by giving you something. We have two brand new copies of the new book on the history of Markovic Park in Sligo to give away on the programme right now. The new publication is called The History of Markovic Park, 1950 to 2020, and it will be officially launched by the president of the GAA, Larry McCarthy, assisted by Dr. Mike Ryan from the World Health Organization, at a special ceremony behind closed doors in Markovic Park this Sunday afternoon at around midday. If you'd like to win a copy of this splendid new publication, text or WhatsApp 083 3500 530 with the answer to this question. Sligo's main GAA county ground is named after a very famous historical Irish figure from the well-known Markovic family. We want to know, what was her Christian name, her first name? If you know the answer, text it along with your name and details to 083 3500 530. You can WhatsApp it too, and if you are texting, text will be charged at your usual mobile phone rate. So what was Madame Markovic's first name? If you know the answer, get it into us here on the final whistle and we'll announce the two winners before 9 o'clock. So let's begin our National Football League preview, and we're starting with Donegal and Division 1 North. Remember, the revised GAA calendar means all four divisions in the Allianz Football League are going to be divided into two groups of four. And so what that means for Division 1 North is that Donegal are in with Tyrone, Armagh and Monaghan. It's Dublin, Galway, Roscommon and Kerry in Division 1 South. Paddy McGill's Donegal GAA podcast has just dropped online this evening. I think you got a sneak preview of it there a few seconds ago. He has Chris McNulty from the Donegal Sport Hub and Frank Craig from the Donegal News among his guests. And here are Frank's thoughts, first of all, on where the balance of power in Ulster might be shifting in 2021.
It's kind of been a diluted province, I think, this last couple of years. Tyrone, I think the longer Mickey Hart stayed there, the better for Donegal. I mean, you look at, listen, the man brought three All-Ireland titles to that county. He's a red-hand legend. But sometimes the game outgrows people and moves on. And we look at, you know, maybe it's a clumsy comparison, but Jose Mourinho and soccer, you know, Mickey Hart's time was up in Tyrone a long time ago. And even the way he was setting them up and setting their stall out, they were never far off Donegal. My only fear would be now going forward that, you know, Fergal Logan, Brian Doers come in there. Tyrone have a talented squad with a couple of big aces added. You know, another big ace in Callum McShane to come back in. Conor McKenna, another season under his belt. Dara Canavan. Maybe the chance and the opportunity we had the last 3 or 4 years to make an All-Ireland semi-final is going to be a lot harder than it previously was. I was talking to Paddy Campbell a few weeks ago and he said, regardless of Donegal, you know, wouldn't have had enough for Dublin last year on the semi-final. They'd stumble through. At least they would have something to measure up against. They would have something to compare with Dublin, where they are, how far they're off the pace. Not getting to Croke Park and not getting to these All-Ireland semi-finals. We just don't know where these players are at. They're going to need one or two failures maybe at that their level to maybe find their feet, maybe in a last four stage in the country in all Ireland series. We haven't got that year yet. So if we did eventually get to it, even you would worry about maybe it's a young panel bar, you know, three or four players. So the more experience they can get, and they haven't any already. It's strange to have, you know, two or three provincial medals in your pocket, but not to have played in an All Ireland semi-final. That's the contrast, maybe, or maybe the contradiction that's kind of happened in Declan's term. But listen, again, eternal optimist. Every year, you know, we go into it. I always expect big things in Donegal, but you know, Tyrone just on our periphery now. There's a fear that the things could begin to kick on there again, and that would be a big concern. And you know, fearfully not at the expense of Donegal.
Yeah, some good points there, and Chris. I've heard anecdotally, as I'm sure you have as well, Tyrone have been flying in challenge matches, and Frank just touched on it there. Normally, Chris, in any sport, whether we see it in soccer, we see it in rugby, with Rory McIlroy's back with Steve Cowan now in golf, for example, and just usually whatever the sporting entity is, they get a little bit of a bounce with a new manager.
Yeah, that's only natural, you know, because I suppose a few of the players maybe had become kind of stale under Mickey, and you know, there was that feeling in Tyrone for a few years that, you know, there was a desire for change. And maybe had Mickey not been so successful and, you know, his stature so high, probably would have gone, you know, he probably got the benefit of and probably right again, rightly so, the legend that he had created over that period. But, you know, Fergal and Brian coming in, they've had success at underage level. They know those players so well. And like, they've also bettered Donegal on a couple of occasions at minor and 21 level Tyrone in recent years. Like, you know, we've not got things easy against them in those grades. Those players coming in, like Frank touched on Cathal McShane. I mean, Cathal McShane on his day is one of the best players in the country. You know, we looked at the impact Conor McKenna had last year, and you know, the great duel with Donegal and Ballybuffet and stuff. But again, to bring Cathal McShane in beside him, it just adds a complete new dimension, doesn't it? Tyrone, like, they've got a tough enough draw against Cavan, but definitely, like, if you're Cavan looking at the Ulster Championship, that's the draw you did not want, as a rejuvenated Tyrone. I suppose, though, in many ways, like, looking at this week's game, the pressure's kind of on Tyrone, because a lot of the spotlight's on them to see how they are under the new management, you know, for Donegal, maybe sort of get a pass this week, if you like, you know, maybe more so than the guys have in Tyrone. But look, Paddy, even taking that thing back to Donegal, and, you know, Frank touched about sort of being the eternal optimist. Like, you know, while we've learned a lot from last year in terms of maybe not looking too far ahead, you still have to be optimistic when you look at the squad that Donegal have. You know, we've not lost any of our backbone players. We've got, like, Oran McNeilis is coming back in. We know the talent he has. If Kieran Gillespie can get back in there, you know, the likes of Stephen McMenamin, Oran McFadden, Ferry, Kieran Thompson, we're missing those. Like, so you start talking about things like that, and you kind of find yourself, it's hard to keep a lid on your optimism then when you look at what we have coming.
Yeah, sure. And a lot of the talk, and it's funny you say that, Chris, and the players, even you mentioned Kieran Gillespie, Oran McFadden, Ferry, etc. And Donegal have had a lot of criticism nationally over their defence, but Frank, so short in that department in the last couple of years. Even go back to that Super 8s game that day against Kerry a couple of years ago, like, Paddy McGrath was out, Neil McGee was out, Owen Gallagher was out, and a lot of long-term injuries, and that's really just an area that Boner will just be praying that he can just get guys back. And like, we look at Conor Morrison in the club last year, lads. Unbelievable club campaign. We all saw him against, you know, Hugh McFadden, against Paddy McBrearty, and then he gets injured. So,
yeah, you look at the team that started, you know, last year. I mean, particularly the game against Armagh, going forward, I mean, we had a lot of players that maybe weren't natural defenders, didn't have natural touch tight tendencies playing, but when questions weren't asked of them, I mean, just going forward at steam, you know, on the break, off the shoulder, we looked fantastic. But when Cavan sat back and looked to counter, we didn't have that aggression of being able to maybe stop or just simply stand men up and, you know, let our own defence maybe sink back. I mean, Cavan were riding tackles and bypassing our men. And that was the real worry. As you say, I know Oisin McConville was on with you at the time, and he called those type of defenders bad children. And he's right, you know, the kind of bratness, you need that bit of, you know, mischief in you that I think you need three or four of them at this level now. And listen, I think Donegal have them on paper. They just weren't available at the time last year. And listen, it was showing up really badly that there night. Again, we talk about, you know, this Tyrone game at the weekend, what will it count for? I think it probably has to count for a lot, for the simple fact that games are at a premium. They'll be trying to play challenge games. I mean, how much of our squad will we get? You know, I know Chris touched on it earlier about using your squad, but does that come at the expense of what you want to do? If you have three league games, I mean, you start a league game at the end of January, February, you know, you're not that too disappointed or concerned if you're picking up losses or, you know, there's a bit in it. But, you know, a month out from championship, you know, if Donegal get a 5 or 6 point defeat at the weekend, Tyrone looked brilliant. You know, psychologically, what kind of marker does that there lay for Ulster? Do you know, Tyrone, still see them as the biggest obstacle. If Tyrone managed to beat Cavan and we managed to make it all the way towards the semi-final, and we do meet them, but they've had the better league campaign, maybe a league final, maybe a league champ, no, league winners. Just, there's such a congested nature to it. I think everything counts for something in the lead up here now, and it's going to be interesting to see what Declan actually does with his players, because people need game time. You don't want to go in undercooked. But are the players fit enough? Are they at a stage where you can actually put the foot down right away in the league and try these things out without the expense of, you know, we're talking small injuries, soft tissue injuries, 2-3 weeks. You know, it could cost us in the way that it cost us last year against Cavan. 2 or 3 of those very important players that we talk about in the one area. We have good cover. I think we have a very good panel. But when you get hit hard in the one area, and as Owen Bann said 2 weeks ago in the Donegal News, they got hit especially hard in the one or two areas in defence. And, you know, they might have had cover outside maybe the regular choice, but when you're going back 2 and 3 on the list and you're moving players about, bringing half-forwards back to the half-back line, even half-backs playing cornerbacks and asking them to be touched tight, it caught us out. You know, it was a banana skin. You know, it was waiting to happen. And in hindsight, it's still very disappointing that it was Cavan that did do us. But again, it's the unknown in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be very interesting where the lie of the land is before we get to Down, what kind of mood we're going to be in, what players are going to be available to us. And listen, it's guesswork. It was last year, and I think as much, if not more, this year.
Two words that you said there, your last one, guesswork, and you said unknown. Chris, I get the feeling that of all the years going into the league, that we haven't really got a clue about the team this year in terms of, because you've already mentioned injuries and that, Chris, and we lads away and that, we just don't know, do we?
No, we don't. And I suppose something else like that you maybe would see in the league in normal times where you have that couple of months, like, and as Frank said, like, you're not wild bothered if you lose a game in late January, early February, because you have time. You can't sort of envisage any manager, Declan or anyone else, taking a chance, or are we going to try something new? Are we going to, because you don't have time. If it goes and it doesn't work, then you're losing time earlier. Like, we've only 6 weeks to the championship. So, you know, you don't want to be sort of trying new systems, trying a fella here, or, you know, let's try somebody inside, or let's try somebody back at midfield. You just really have to sort of, it is nearly gung-ho from the start, like, really. And like Frank did mention it there, like, if you lose this weekend by 4 or 5 points and maybe Tyrone, or similarly, if you won, those wee doubts are going to creep, because you don't have those couple of months to get it out of your system and act, look, you know, that was the league was the league, now we're building for championship, because you're straight out of one and you're into the next. So it's not even, you know, managers used to do that thing of, what was that phrase they used to say, oh, we'll press the button now for championship. That button's nearly going to have been pressed when they came back, you know, because, like, they've had no collective stuff done until the middle of April. So, like, even pre-season challenge games, McKenna Cup, all of that's out the window. So you're sort of just landing back with everything going into the pot. And now all of a sudden you're away to Tyrone. Like, you know, all right, it is only the league, but at the same time, with championships so far, like, you don't want to be conceding any wee bits of ground at all. So, you know, while you're not wild-bothered in one sense about the weekend, it's just another reminder that championship's coming soon. And, you know, you do want to be getting some semblance of what your team in late June is going to look like.
Chris McNulty from the Donegal Sport Hub, and before that, Frank Craig from the Donegal News. They were among Paddy McGill's guests on this week's Donegal GAA podcast episode, which you can listen to in full right now on oceanfm.ie or wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search for Ocean FM Ireland on your preferred platform. And Donegal's number one supporter in Monaghan, Sky Sports pundit Dick Clerken, is in there as well this week. Let's go to Killybegs and talk to former Donegal footballer Manus Boyle. Manus, I can't remember there ever being such a thing as a challenge match between Tyrone and Donegal, but how high do you think the stakes will be this Saturday?
I suppose I could reiterate that I don't think there ever was or ever will be a challenge match between Tyrone and Donegal. I think the stakes are they're fairly high. I won't say because it's not championship, I'll not say they're the highest they could be, but they're certainly it's an important game because everybody wants a good start. Tyrone now under new management of Fergal Logan and Brian Duer, their players will want to go out and impress them. You're kind of in a 14 group. The bottom two play off for a relegation fight. The top two play off for a promotion fight. So where do you want to be, by the end of May? So I think there is a fair bit of pressure, on players from both sides to perform this Sunday or this Saturday night. And, there's a fair bit of pressure. How the players react, Austin, will be the one for me. It's probably last September since many of them played, so it'll be interesting to see how they react, where their bodies are at, where their fitness levels are at, where their skill levels are at. I noticed in the Hurling National League last year, there was a lot of cases of players going down with cramp with maybe 10 minutes to go, which is not something that you would generally have seen in the years gone past because they would have had maybe 6, 8, maybe 10 weeks of collective training done at this stage where they're only together now a few weeks officially, so there's only so much players can do on their own. They would have, coming back into the team, kind of circle and doing things as a group, raises the fitness levels of everybody, and it's just been tight for time.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't at Declan Bunner's news conference in Convoy on Tuesday, his first in person in about a year, given this current pandemic. But from reading some of the copy and listening to radio interviews, I did detect a polite irritation from him in terms of, well, number one, between the lines, you were kind of hearing, folks, is there any chance we could give what happened against Cavan in the Ulster final last November a rest? That's been post-mortemed to death. And I did detect he felt the GAA has missed the trick here in not going for an open championship draw. And it's been illustrated by the fact that he's now in a mini Ulster championship in this Division 1 North. And might that have some sort of subliminal effect in how the Ulster championship might pan out when we do get there?
Yeah, I was just looking. I mean, there's a possibility that they could play 4 games against Ulster opposition before they play in the championship. And every other year, you got a team maybe in Connacht or you got a team in Leinster, and it's kind of different than playing Ulster teams because it is very competitive. Even in challenge matches, Austin, Ulster is so competitive because you're kind of laying down the marker for the summer ahead. And that has always been the way, and I have no doubt it will always be the way within the province. But I suppose where Bonner probably was coming from, I know he was a bit irritated over the Cavan questions, but this was probably last Tuesday was probably the first time that many press got to see Declan in the flesh and ask him those questions. And I know that, there was a number of comments from maybe players that maybe the hunger wasn't there, maybe they had their eye on the ball somewhere else. And that will have, that sort of negativity around the squad will be something that Bonner will not want to creep in, generally because, I think Cavan were the better team on the day, but I still think Donegal is top 4, top 5 in the country. So Declan will want to drive that home in the next couple of weeks, and they'll definitely want to start it on Saturday night, because if Fergal Logan and Brian Duer can get the Tyrone Chargers up and going, get the likes of Cal McShane back, Connor McKenna, them boys playing well, they're going to be a handful and mixed in with the rest of the experienced players they have and a couple of young fellas coming through from under 21.
Quick final thought, Manus. Because the margin for error is so small in this Division 1 North with only three round robin games, if Donegal or Tyrone win or lose, if Donegal lose the first game, will their emphasis switch into tweaking for down and making sure they preserve their Division 1 status? Whereas if you win your opening match, you may be more concerted to have a crack at winning the league.
I'm not sure. I think Declan will be of the mindset with the squad that he has that he's going to have to go out and try every and win every game in the league. I mean, he has Orrin McNeillis back in the squad, probably not at the fitness level that they would need him to be at. You know, and he'll have Orrin McFadden Ferry coming into the squad in the next couple of weeks. You know, he's just returned from tour of duty. So, you know, they're two brilliant additions to Donegal, to his squad. I know he's a number of injury worries for the weekend, but that will be the same with every squad. But I think he'll have to go at it, and they'll have to go at it hard from the start. He doesn't want to get into a relegation battle because that's going into the championship against Down, maybe in a more negative tone, where if he's in a playoff for the semi-final or the final of the National League, you know, that means he's going forward, and that gives a good positive burst to the players going ahead into the Ulster Championship. And by no means going to play Down in Down is going to be no easy task, regardless of the results of the past 4 or 5 years for Down.
Well, there's a lot to look forward to, whatever unfolds over the weeks ahead. Manus Boyle, thank you very much for joining us on The Final Whistle.
A
reminder that the match this Saturday in Omagh will be live in full here on Ocean FM on an extended Saturday sports beat. It's a 5 o'clock throw-in for Tyrone against Donegal.
Ocean FM's Final Whistle, thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town, suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.
Okay, a reminder of our competition. We have two copies of the new book charting the history of Markovich Park in Sligo, the county's premier GAA ground. It's called The History of Markovich Park, 1950 to 2020. It'll be launched this Sunday in a special midday ceremony at the park by the current Uachtaráin of the GAA, Larry McCarthy. If you'd like to win one of the two copies, tell us simply, what was the Christian name after the famous female Irish historical figure Markovich Park is named? Madam Markovich, what was her first name? If you know the answer, text or WhatsApp it to 083 3500 530. That's 083 3500 530. And we'll announce the winners of the book before the end of the programme. Now, Sligo's new senior football captain for 2021 is Calera Strandhill's Keelan Coley. The 32-year-old Garda will lead Sligo out this Sunday at Markovich in their Division 4 North opener against Leitrim.
A great honour, first of all, to be captain of the county for the year going forward. It's probably something that I was looking at maybe over the last few years, thinking that I'd like to have that role in the team, but I think to have it this year, it's a great honour for me, and hopefully I can just do the role justice and do the team justice in that role.
From listening to your new manager speak about you, he saw pretty early leadership traits in you, from the way you play, your durability as well as your ability appear to have been factors in him giving you the captaincy this year.
Yeah, well, I suppose things like that are like there, I suppose. But I only kind of found out about it there on Tuesday before training. And the whole fight is dead. It was just kind of, maybe just not, that was it. So, look, I was delighted to be chosen to be captain for the super. A lot of other worthy candidates in the squad that put me on the pick. So, yeah, I was just happy enough to be chosen.
The line is a bit iffy, but we'll persevere with it for just a couple more questions, right, Keelan.
you start this weekend against your neighbours Leitrim, so it's a pretty testy opening competitive match for you to have as the new Sligo captain.
Yeah, I suppose so. Look, Stephen Leitrim has had a couple of good battles, especially probably in recent years. Maybe more so in earlier parts of the years in the FBE League and stuff like that, but look, we kind of know what Leitrim are about, and Leitrim know what we're about, and it's going to be a good test. So I say whatever team is going to adapt quickest to the short pre-season and the lead-in time that we've had into the league is probably going to come out on top there on Sunday.
The new Sligo captain, Keelan Cawley there. Sligo and Leitrim, remember, in Division 4 North, along with two Ulster teams, Antrim, managed by former Tyrone All-Ireland winning footballer Enda McGinley, and Louth, managed by former Tyrone All-Ireland winning manager Mickey Hart. Here's the Sligo manager this year, an Ulster man himself, Tony McEntee.
We had so long to wait and we knew it was coming. But now that it's here, everything just seems to be on top of us straight away, you know. We've only recently looked at the panel and selected the final panel for the year. We've only got together, what's this now, 3 weeks, is it, that we're back at this stage, you know. And we're now looking into a season which has three games at least right on top of each other, you know, and then that'll set the tone for the year going ahead. So very much a sprint.
Was finalising the panel difficult? Is it still a movable feast for you?
Yes, on both counts. Now, it was made slightly easier because Kevin McDonald's decision to step back was out of his control in that it was a medical advice. Neil Ewing, after many years of service to Sligo, has decided to step down as well. So that has made it somewhat easier, to be fair, you know. But yes, we have a panel of players there who put in a lot of effort from probably last December on their own until we came back 3 weeks ago. And while we had the intention of making that decision in January, because of the lockdown, it was only fair to give people a chance to meet them again and then decide. So, yes. Yeah.
I'm wondering, Tony, should we rename Division 4 North the McKenna Cup this season? You're going to be up against Mickey Hart and Louth,
yes.
Enda McGinley and Antrim, Terry Highland and Cavan, three Ulstermen you know very well.
Yes, and three good Ulstermen at that. Yes, doesn't it add a great bit of spice, though, doesn't it, to the Division 4? And I think, to be fair, it'll add to the profile, maybe, of the Division 4, when maybe in previous years it hasn't got that level of profile, just because of the Ulster piece and the interest that might be there. But I think the way the divisions have split this year, it has also created a bias in this, because those four teams are very strong, possibly in respect to the other side of the division, you know. And in doing so, it'll create a lot of competition very, very quickly.
What do you make of the Sligo players, Tony, with your Ulster hat on? I mean, do you like what you see? Are you encouraged by what you see?
Absolutely, yeah. I think what I'm liking most about this team is their energy and enthusiasm. They're actually fun. They're a fun bunch, you know. And they're coming to training with smiles on their face. They're enjoying the training, as the case is at the minute. So far, Austin, but I can change depending on team selection this weekend. But they are enjoying it and they're putting great energy and enthusiasm into it. You know, we've played now one or two challenge matches there. And I can see their love for the game here. I can see their passion for what they're trying to bring to it. And, you know, listening and watching from videos last year and listening to Joe and Sean that was involved last year, they're telling me about the improvement they're making year on year, you know, which is something that every coach and manager loves to see.
And to finish, Tony, what is a realistic ambition for Sligo? And I'm not asking you to list out a bold answer here, but I mean, you know, is it so many wins in the league, or, you know, a promotion semi-final or whatever it might be? I mean, do you have something in mind? What would represent meaningful progress?
Meaningful progress, Austin, is clearly progress out of Division 4. Sligo is long enough in Division 4 at this stage. They're good enough. That bunch of players in there are good enough to get out of Division 4. You know, we'll have a load of wee metrics that we'll be looking at throughout the year. But the reality is that progress from Division 4 is what progress is what progress actually looks like. You know, and this year, will we do it? We'll not be long finding it.
That's Sligo's new senior football manager, Tony McEntee. Here's the Leitrim boss, Terry Highland, in his third season and his assessment of the makeup of Division 4 and the run-in time to the new season throw in.
No, Ulster challenge from a manager's point of view. But yes, of course, it's going to be tough. And one of the biggest problems probably with this league coming in is the lead time into it. We're only getting 4 weeks, really. And they're talking about not letting us play a game until the 5th, we'll say, of May, as in challenge matches and stuff like that. It's not ideal for preparation to get ready for competitive football. And I'm a little bit worried that maybe the slotting the league in just as well. We said we'd play the league and we're trying to get it out of the way slightly. And by not allowing teams to prepare, we would have needed at least another 2 weeks to prepare properly. And I think what will happen is after maybe 3 or 4 weeks of training, trying to bring lads up, a couple of games, a lot of squads will have a lot of injuries.
There's going to be a lot of impact injuries, probably soft tissue injuries as we go along with the games coming in after a long layoff and then having a game week after week after week.
Yeah, but look, lads have been training away on their own and they haven't had group sessions, and that's fine, and that keeps them physically toned and it's good for their aerobic capacity. But you're right, suddenly then we go into contact and it's different. Suddenly we go into, twisting and turning, which is not deliberate, shall we say. You can make a conscious decision, I'm going to run 100 metres and turn and come back. So you have to react. And all that sort of stuff brings on different strains, different muscle groups in the body. And I think that will be the big issue for teams going forward.
That probably has to be taken into consideration when it comes to, and I know everybody is talking about restarting the economy, but when you're restarting a team like this collectively, trying to get up to speed for such important games coming, that's got a lot of thought into that as well.
Yeah, well, look at, last year we were treated as being elite teams. We were the same as people playing rugby and soccer and all other sports. This year we seem to lose that for some strange reason, which affected the preparation of all of this. And, going back to what we talked about, the cost factor and that sort of stuff, I don't think it was down to money. I think, okay, we all understand that as amateurs, we move maybe a little bit more around in society and there is a little bit more mixing and because of the pandemic and that. But I think that if we were good enough to look after ourselves and mind what we'd done last year and get through the season, I think we could have started either earlier. If earlier couldn't start, that maybe the start date of the league could have been pushed back a little bit further.
One thing that's unique about this year's league and championship for inter-county level is the fact that management teams won't have had the opportunity of looking at a club championship before going into competition. Now, last year, you had the inter-county after the club. Now you have the inter-county before the club this year. So does that very much determine that the panel has to be more or less the same as it was 12 months ago?
Well, as we said before, we only have 4 weeks to prepare, so you can't really go out and start plucking guys out of clubs and saying, come in and I want you to play competitive football in 4 weeks. It just doesn't work that way. And to be fair, we are probably lucky as a management because we're into a second stroke third season involved with Leitrim, and we have a fair grasp on the people that's out there. And of course, there is people who say, well, you should have this fella and that fella, and of course, yes, and they will put up their hands when the club season starts, and they will be available to be brought in next year, because in the end of the day, all management wants to bring in all the best players.
And no doubt about it, for the start of the league, that first game against Sligo, big local derby, that's where I suppose all the attention is going to have to be focused, at least initially.
Well, of course, it's I suppose the first round in the league, the way it's tiered down with only three teams in it, or three games in it, it's going to be, the first game is going to be nearly define where the rest of your league goes, and that's how important it is. So it's a bit like knockout championship, really. And for teams like Leitrim and Sligo, and all the teams competing probably in Division 3 and Division 4, to me the league is the most important competition.
Leitrim manager Terry Hyland speaking to John Lynch in advance of Sunday's Division 4 North opener against Sligo at Markovich Park. Most of you are getting the answer to our quiz question for a copy of the History of Markovich Park 1950 to 2020, which will be launched formally this Sunday by the GAA President Larry McCarthy at the park before Sunday's game. We have two copies to give away on the programme. I say most of you have got it right, not everybody. We asked you, what is the Christian name of the famous female Irish historical figure after whom Sligo's premier GAA ground is named? It's not Georgina Markovich, but most of you have got the right answer, and we'll announce our two winners in a short while. Let's, in the meantime, let's speak to another Irish historical figure in his own right, I suppose, in GAA circles in Leitrim. Alan Gale's new senior football manager has gone back to his roots. It is former Leitrim county boss and Ocean FM pundit Martin McGowan, who's been out training with his players in the past while, but he's kindly agreed to take off the whistle and put down the cones for a few minutes and give us his thoughts on how Division 4 North for Leitrim and Sligo, for that matter, might unfold in the coming weeks. Martin, you've been putting your team through their paces tonight?
Yeah, lovely sunny evening here in Drumshambo. You know, I suppose we're restricted with COVID and that, you know, and we have to split our pitch up into two, and you're training, you know, two different sorts of sessions going on tandemly. You're one side of the field, you've got your pod of 14 players, and we've another pod of 14 players down the other end of the field. So, look, it has its own problems, but we have three coaches involved in the squad here, so we're all able to carry the weight of that, you know.
Well, what about Sunday? Leitrim go to the park to take on Sligo and North West Derby, neighbours who know each other pretty well, although they haven't played each other in the league probably for a few years now. What do you make of the stakes around this game on Sunday?
Well, the stakes are very high, to be perfectly honest, which, you know, with the reimagined league as it stands now for 2021, Austin, you have two sort of splits in each division. And it's a very important, you know, one loss puts you really behind the eight ball. That's it. You know, one loss means you really are fighting the next two games. If you don't win both those games, there's no way you're going to make the semi-finals of the National League. And I suppose for all the teams in the Division 4, really and truly, their priority is going to be on the National League. So with that in mind, you know, I suppose you look at the four teams that are involved in Division 4 North. You've got Leitrim, who have Terry Hyland there for the last 3 years. And that is an advantage because they've got an experienced management team that knows their team, that knows the players. And that's where they, I suppose, have an advantage over the other three teams. Now, you flip the other side of that, Austin, and you've got three teams now in Louth, Antrim and Sligo that have three, let's just say, high-profile managers gone into positions there. And how often have we seen it in the past that teams get a bounce from having a manager like that? There's a buzz around the county. There's a spring in the step of players when they realise that the county board is taking things seriously and they're going to try and push ahead for promotion. So, I mean, it really is unknown what's going to happen in this league. But, you know, I suppose Leitrim do have the advantage of the settled squad and the settled management. But, you know, we've seen what happened with Terry Hyland. When Terry Hyland came in for his first year, Leitrim, the bounce Leitrim got from that, and we went the whole way to Croke Park to the league final against Derry and gained promotion. So I do expect that at least one of those three teams is going to get a bounce, and it just remains to be seen which one of them it is.
One of the things we have learned, Martin, is that counties like Leitrim and Sligo need their best players available if they're going to do well. They're marquee names, and Leitrim are going to be without Ryan O'Rourke for the league, we know. Hopefully he'll be back for the championship as he recovers from a knee injury. We're hearing Donal Rinn may be stepping away for a while from Leitrim, and some question marks around Ray Mulvey. Is he retiring from inter-county football? A few whispers in the wind around the county during the week. If some or all of that is accurate, Martin, that takes away a fair bit of firepower and experience from the Leitrim panel at the start of this campaign.
It certainly does, because let's be fair, you know, we talk about marquee forwards, and I suppose every county likes to have a marquee forward. Well, Ryan O'Rourke has been that for Leitrim for the last couple of years. You know, he's been absolutely outstanding in everything he does for the club and county, and indeed when he was playing with Maynooth as well, he was one of the star forwards there in the Sigerson Cup for them. So, I mean, he is definitely a massive loss to Leitrim. And, you know, it's going to be a tight fit for Ryan to get back even for the championship when you consider that he picked up his injury September of last year against Tipperary in the last round of the National League. And, you know, I mean, you're looking at maybe playing championship in June. That's a 9-month turnaround from a crucial injury. You know, it's a tough one to get back from, Austin. And with regards to Ray, I haven't heard, you know, what's happening with Ray and that, but certainly if Donal is stepping away, Donal will be a big loss, because he's had a super year for Leitrim last year and that. And Ray has brought so much experience to the team, and he's got that ability to get up the field and score a few points. And those guys have to be replaced, and that's not easy for any county, you know. And in particular, counties in Division 4 tend to be those that struggle in getting their best players out.
Yeah, and I know you were out training. You wouldn't have heard the start of Terry Hyland's interview, and he wasn't making any excuses, but he said he would have liked to have had at least an extra couple of weeks with his Leitrim team, that he feels the league has been shoehorned into this tight schedule, as, you know, pandemic conditions maybe it had to be, but as if, you know, the league is a little bit more of an afterthought, he's suggesting, to try and get to the start of the championship as soon as possible.
Yeah, and you know, he has a very good point there. I mean, if you asked any inter-county manager, they would probably say the same thing, you know. I suppose, for like we've seen it this year, I suppose we'll just compare it to another sport, really, you know, and you look at the Premiership across the water and that, you know, and how quickly the Premiership came upon those teams after finishing the previous season, very little time in preparation and that, and a condensed calendar with regards to football and all that, and they were picking up, those professional players were picking up injuries hand over fist, and there's no reason to suggest that it won't be the same for amateur players in the GAA, as well as they might prepare. 4 weeks is a very, very short time to prepare for a really competitive national league.
And a quick thought finally on the four managers in this Division 4 North. They're all Ulstermen. We asked Tony McEntee about this earlier, but you've got Terry Hyland, Cavaman with Leitrim, Tony McEntee, Armagh Man with Sligo, and then the Tyrone duo, Enda McGinley with Antrim and Mickey Hart with Louth. Do you see that in any significant way shaping how this particular division might unfold?
Well, you see, that's the great imponderable, Austin, you know, to know how the reaction is going to be from counties, you know, to the introduction of those new managers. If you take last year, I suppose, I can only talk on what Leitrim seen last year. And to be fair, I thought Louth looked disjointed last year, and they were, you know, Leitrim were significantly better than them last year. I would say the first thing Mickey Hart is going to do, he's going to get them organised. I would say Tony McEntee is coming into Sligo there. He brings great experience with him as well, you know, from his days with Armagh, from his days with Cross Maclean. He's a winner. He's been a winner all his career. And if he can bring that mentality to Sligo, there's going to be a bounce from that, I'm sure. And then you've got Enda McGinley, one of the most accomplished forwards in the game over the last 10, 15, 20 years and that, you know, for Tyrone, an All-Ireland winner himself. And, you know, look, I suppose it's been no secret that, you know, teams down the north, I suppose, are a little bit ahead of the posse with regards to training and that, probably, you know. So I think, actually, if you were looking for a team to maybe watch out for in this National League, Antrim could be that team. They might be just a step ahead of all the others in preparation.
And they've got two home games to come as well. But in terms of promotion ambitions, do you think, while it's their first game, Sunday's game is a make or break game for Sligo and Leitrim, in terms of the winner can look up and the loser might already be thinking about consolidation and thinking championship?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assumption to make. You know, I mean, you get that win on Sunday, be it Sligo or Leitrim, and that leaves you probably, in all probability, needing just one more victory in order to get to those league semi-finals and in with a chance of getting promotion to Division 3. And, you know, ultimately, that's going to be the goal for Sligo or Leitrim. Get up a division, start playing matches against better teams, and I suppose the ultimate goal for counties in Division 4 is that provincial title. For Sligo, for Leitrim, for Louth and Leinster, albeit, you know, with the Dubs, you know, I mean, that might be a bit of a pipe dream. So, I mean, probably the league is the best chance of success for Louth at the moment and that. And then Antrim, you know, I mean, like, Ulster is very competitive. It mightn't be that big a jump for Antrim to become competitive in that province.
And I'm just reading this evening, finally, on this, Martin, the Stormont ministers have provisionally agreed to allow spectators, 500 of them, return to all outdoor sporting events in the north from next Monday week, the 24th of May. Now, I mention that because Leitrim's last league match is away to Antrim on Sunday, the 30th of May. So, potentially, if the GAA decides to allow the games in the northern jurisdiction have fans, GAA matches that is, there might be a small window for Leitrim fans, potentially, to see the final league game in Belfast?
Yeah, well, I suppose we won't know what the restrictions are on travelling up the north for for games, you know, and all that. I suppose that will become apparent over time. But, you know, I would imagine at this stage that will depend, that will very much depend on how Leitrim do in those first two games. I mean, if Leitrim come into that game with two victories, you'll see Leitrim people chomping at the bit to get up the north to watch them playing in that third game. And the flip side of that coin is if we don't get off to the good start that we'd like in Leitrim, then, you know, there might be just that little bit of apathy there towards that last game, and people might be happy enough maybe to see the opportunity of Leitrim playing in the championship.
And just before I let you go, what is it like, Martin McGowan, being back managing your home club in Drumshamba once again, Alan Gales?
Ah, well, sure, look, often, you know, I suppose my heart has always been in Alan Gales and in Leitrim, you know, very much. And I suppose I've never really strayed too far away from either in my coach. And I went for a couple of years out to Eston there, which I have to say I really enjoyed. A great club, you know, Eston and that, one of the founding clubs in Leitrim, the oldest clubs in Leitrim and that. But I suppose I'm back among my own and that, you know. And we have a vibrant bunch of young players here. We won an under-17 championship last year, you know. We have about 11 or 12 guys that have come up from under 17 in the last couple of years, probably another 5 or 6 coming next year. So look, I mean, we're trying to build something for the future here, Austin. Over the last couple of years, it's fair to say Alan Gales have been, you know, not up to the same standard as some of the better teams in Leitrim, and we're trying to bridge that gap at the minute, really.
Well, I hope they'll give you more time than Tottenham Hotspur did Jose Mourinho, Martin McGowan. Best of luck in your managerial role in 21.
Well, I can tell you I don't consider myself special in any way.
Oh, there are many who would disagree. Martin McGowan, thank you very much for your thoughts. That's Alan Gale's special one. Martin McGowan joining us on the final whistle tonight, and Sligo Leitrim is live this Sunday from 3 o'clock, with thanks to winawedding.ie in Leitrim, and with thanks to Oates Breheny Mortgage Services in Sligo from 3 p.m. Before we go, the results of our Markovic Park book competition. We've two copies of the new History of Markovic Park 1950 to 2020 to give away. We asked you to tell us the Christian name of the female Irish historical figure after whom Markovic Park is named. The answer, of course, was Constance Markovic. And well done to Shirley McLaughlin from Sligo and Jennifer Siggins from Ballinfull in North Sligo, who got the answer correct. Both of you have won a copy of the great new publication, The History of Markovic Park 1950 to 2020, which will be launched this Sunday by GAA President Larry McCarthy at Markovic Park in a behind closed door ceremony. And the book will be on general sale through all the clubs and online on sligogaa.ie from next Sunday evening, if you want to catch a copy of it yourself. A reminder, finally, that The Final Whistle is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and on your preferred podcast platform. Simply search for Ocean FM Ireland to find it. Tyrone against Donegal, live this Saturday from 5 on Ocean FM. Sligo against Leitrim, live this Sunday from 3. We're back next week, same time, same place.
Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's Final Whistle. Thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.